This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
I know we'll get opinions, that is for sure. A gentleman that we've had on the show before, he was actually in studio with us a couple of months back. Trevor Bauer, terrific pitcher. He's with the Reds now after a nice run with the Indians, and Trevor is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Trevor, how you doing, buddy? You keeping sane? How you been?
I've been doing all right, trying to stay safe and healthy and stay in shape for whenever we get baseball back. It's been a very odd time, so been trying to make the best of it, you know?
By the way, I got to ask you. No, I hear you. I got to ask you. How many calls did you get when your number was leaked? How many people reached out to you?
Oh man, I think I have 12,000 unread messages right now in my text.
Get out of here!
I had to turn FaceTime off because I tried for 8 hours straight to shut my phone down. Uh-huh. But every time I would try to shut it down, a new FaceTime call would come in and keep resetting it. So I literally couldn't do anything with my phone for like 8 hours. It was just piping hot and. I have no idea how many actual calls and FaceTimes. That's been WhatsApp audio and Venmo and Snap, anything that my number's leaked to, just, or that my number is linked to, it's just been blowing up.
Gotcha. So, listen, man, crazy times. And Tika and I just spent a while on Blake Snell's comments, and we all saw Tony Clark's initial press release from the union. I thought it was pretty interesting. Mark Teixeira, he took an interesting angle as a former player the other day. Let's boil it down to Star Trek, because I know we want to bounce in a few different directions. But first off, and I don't want to say that you can't say both, but I really, because of course you can, but I am curious which is of more concern right now to you, the revenue split or the health aspect of returning to the game? What bothers you? What's more paramount to you?
Well, I think I need to say a couple things before we get into that. One, I don't think any of this should have been made public. That's the most concerning thing to me, is that, before players, I still haven't even seen the full proposal. We haven't had time to, when a proposal comes to the union, it's discussed among the union and then with the executive subcommittee of players and then put out to other players, and so we haven't even had time yet to really go through the full agreement and even see what all's in it and all that. We just know what's been made public, which is not how you're supposed to negotiate. The intention seemingly being to pit the owners on the right side of things and the players as the greedy ones or the ones who are asking for more or whatever. And I don't agree with these negotiations taking place through the public sphere. Once those details of it were leaked to the media to be made public, then, okay, those are the rules that we've now apparently agreed to play by, because this is the public information. So that's why I've been so vocal about stepping out and saying, on behalf of the players, how some of us feel in the public sphere. But I don't think any of it should have been made public in the first place. The
Fair
second
enough.
Thing is, health and safety is obviously the most important thing, but I think I've seen a lot of people on my Twitter feed telling me that, my demographic isn't at risk and there's less of a chance of dying from COVID in my age bracket than there is of driving or whatever they're saying, right? And it's not just about the players. There's a lot of people that go into making a big league season possible. You have coaches, you have support staff, the trainers, the dietitians, the cooks, the chefs, just everybody there. You have the front office people. You have the traveling secretary and all that, in addition to all of their families and everybody like that, that are in those age demographics that are more at risk. So the more we're out there, the more we're exposed to different situations, the less we shelter in place, you know, the more chance there is that we pick something up. And even though we may not be affected as much, people that we know may be, and that's risky. That's dangerous.
Yeah, go ahead.
So that's kind of, those are a couple of things that I felt like I needed to say before I even get into, you know, all the problems with the proposed, you know, revenue split or anything like that.
Yeah. Are you optimistic, Trevor, that a season will happen?
100%. I'm very confident that there will be baseball this season. The players and the teams have a long history of being able to work together and find common ground. We've had labor peace for, 94? 25 years, something like that.
Yep.
I'm very optimistic that there will be baseball this year. What form it takes and how long until it comes back and all that is what's being negotiated right now. And that's going to take some time to, like I said, get through the agreement and make some counter proposals and find some common ground, something that works for everybody. I think the players have been more than willing to compromise. You know, we have already agreed to take, you know, pay cuts and prorated amounts and in a good faith, position to try to get baseball back on the field. We realize that it's good for everybody when baseball's on the field. We all want to be on the field and play and provide entertainment for the fans and, you know, be able to feed our families and provide for our families. At the same time, though, it needs to be done in good faith. And we need to be treated fairly for the job that we do and the additional risk that we're putting ourselves under and our families and everybody associated with the organization.
The one thing, and I'd like to agree, and I'm certainly skewing optimistically on this. I do think that, you know, now what happens once you guys return to the field, who knows? At that point, you know, if there's a bunch of positive tests, do they pull the plug? Nobody could guess that. But I do agree with you. I do think you guys get back on the field. What I think could be a little disconcerting, and by the way, that's Trevor Bauer with us here, 8 years in the show, made an all-star team as well. Like, the different financial tiers. If I'm a guy, I've got, you know, say, north of $40 million in the bank, I'm in no rush to get on the field. I'm good. If I'm a guy who's been bouncing around a little time at AAA, maybe 2.5 years in the show, I'm making $600,000-$800,000. Great for any American, not great for a baseball player, and I'm trying to get fully vested. Like, the urgency to get back on the field for some is immediate, and I would think really without flexibility. So I wonder how those guys will mesh with maybe the views of the guys who have a ton of money and aren't as willing to take a risk, if you know what I mean. How is that going to work out?
Well, I think the first thing on that is that you're tying money to motivation. And certainly for some people, money is motivation. But for the vast majority of players, it's not their only motivation. I know, you know, my motivation is I want to be the best baseball player there is because I'm driven by seeing how much I can accomplish and how the limits that I can push myself to. So saying that someone who, you know, may have made $40 million or $100 million in their career isn't as good not playing, I think is a little unfair to those players because a lot of them play for other reasons.
Well, but real quick, Trev, I just meant economically, not diminishing their level of passion. I wasn't implying that.
Sure. Okay. I understand what you're getting at. I just think it's an important point to be made because a lot of fans are making the same point that, oh, you have a bunch of money, you don't care, what's to you? You know, it's not that way.
Yeah.
As far as how the players, you know, that are on the lower end of the economic scale in MLB are going to handle it and their motivations, obviously, you know, they have families too and they have less financial resources to feed their families right now than the guys that you mentioned that have made a lot of money in MLB. But players have always been good at taking care of players. There's been a long history of players who have made more being able to help players that have made less through tough times and coming together as a player group and being able to help the brotherhood out. So I have no concerns over the players finding a way to come together to help each other out and to get through this. You know, we realize that we're all very fortunate relative to the rest of America to be in the position that we're in. Mm-hmm. And we're very strong as a player group and it's a brotherhood. We help each other out. So we'll find a way to get through it regardless. But that doesn't mean that we're going to allow ourselves to be, you know, treated unfairly.
Trevor, there are a couple of issues that have been popping up that are going to be probably implemented for this truncated season. One is regional realignment. Another one is the universal DH to protect pitchers, obviously. What's your thought on those becoming permanent?
I think there's some good things and some bad things. It's a nuanced discussion. I think that regional realignment, you know, depending on how many games were played outside of that, you know, how many interleague games, I don't know how, if they'd even be called interleague games anymore or whatever, but
yeah.
One thing is the fans on the East Coast, you know, enjoy seeing the best players in the game come and play, you know, like Mike Trout plays on the West Coast, and I'm sure people in Baltimore and New York enjoy seeing Mike Trout play every year. They have a chance when the Angels come down to see, you know, the best player in our game play. So depending on how the realignment went and all that, it has to be a discussion. I don't know if I have strong feelings on it one way or the other. I think it's good for all the teams to play all the teams, so I'd have to see more about if that was still a possibility. As far as the universal DH, it's one of those things where it's, you know, it's split. There's this passionate feelings on both sides of it. The baseball is one of the only games that plays by different sets of rules and different fields and different sizes and all that. So it's part of the culture and the texture of the game. DH versus no DH, there's different strategy decisions that go on. Some fans like those strategy decisions. They like seeing, you know, the eight-hole hitter try to hit and run a little bit and then the pitcher bunt and some of those things. Some fans just like seeing more action. Generally speaking, get more action and more offense with a DH. There's obviously the considerations about how it affects the player group and more jobs, less jobs, different jobs, that type of discussion that would go on as well. So I don't think that any decisions that are made right now for this season should be at all considered to be permanent or considered for being permanent without a much longer discussion and having those changes be collectively bargained on, which is how our system is set up.
In
5 years, we come together and we collectively bargain a new set of rules, and then we go play.
Trevor, now that you're a pitcher in the National League, do you have a good stick or no? I mean, what's going on here?
I hate hitting, personally. I'm not good at it. I hate doing things that I'm not good at. And I get taken out of the game earlier because I'm not good at it. So I don't get to do the thing that I love doing as much, and I have to do something I hate doing more. So I personally am all about the DH, but it's a much more nuanced discussion than just my feelings.
Yeah,
you took a diplomatic approach to it. Yeah, I want it. Give me the universal DH.
Hey, Trevor, what was your immediate reaction to what Mark Teixeira said the other day?
Look, I appreciate Mark coming out and having an opinion and sharing it publicly. I think that the more people that, you know, in the baseball group that come out and do that, I think it's good for the game overall. So I respect all opinions. Mark's certainly entitled to his opinion. It may not be my opinion. You know, I didn't see all of his comments either. I saw just a quote on Twitter. Perhaps that was the only quote. I haven't seen the full video or the full audio of it if it exists. So it's really hard for me to speak on it without the context of hearing the whole conversation.
No, fair enough. That's Trevor Bauer. I've got one more for you, Trevor. I don't know the answer to this, and I know that you said that you haven't even really had a chance to review the whole, like, roughly 100-page document. There's a lot of stuff there, clearly. But let's say, and I'll take Blake Snell because he had some comments last night. Blake Snell, terrific young pitcher. I don't want to go back to the money aspect because I know it's not all about the money, but relatively speaking, hasn't banked a ton of loot yet, about $8 million in the bank. But whatever, aside from that, he is a really good pitcher. And, you know, I wonder if somebody like Blake Snell, who's very outspoken about this, you know, I won't do it, I'm not doing it, blah, blah, blah. And I respect that. If a player, do you know if a player refuses to play, would they be in breach of contract? Like, how would that work? Would that invalidate the contract? If a player just says, you know what, there's a season, I'm not comfortable, I'm not showing up, are they still getting paid?
I really have no idea on that. I haven't looked into the actual language in my contract for that yet. It's not something that ever has really been a reality, you know? It's not something that players show up to spring training under normal circumstances and consider just holding out and not playing. I don't know. There's all sorts of clauses that are in contracts for times like this, force majeure and other clauses, something like, you know, that are like that, fancy names that I can't really pronounce. But you'd have to look at that. I haven't done that on my contract, so I really can't give a strong opinion on whether it would be a breach of contract or not.
Okay.
And I don't think we're anywhere close to that point right now anyway. There's still a lot of negotiations that are going to go on, and I'm very confident that we are going to find middle ground where both sides will be, you know, will be treated fairly and come to an agreement that works for both sides.
July 4th. Are you towing a rubber? Are you wearing a uniform? Is there baseball by July 4th?
My opinion, my thought?
Yeah.
Yes.
Boy, that was not a very...
If I have to pick yes or no, I'll say yes. I think if I had to give you a better idea, I think it's going to be middle of July. That's kind of been my feeling on it. I don't have any inside information on it. I'd love to get it started earlier. July 4th baseball would be so great for the country and for all the fans and for the players and all that too. So
definitely.
I hope so. I'm confident there will be baseball in July at some point. Hopefully we can make it by the July 4th weekend.
All right. Well, listen, man, stay busy. Keep the wing loose. Do a little soft toss. Even if you have to go and run and pick it up yourself, do a little soft toss. And next time you're in New York City, when we get back to our studio, make sure you come hang with us for a little bit, okay?
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks, you guys, as always.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.